John 15, verse 1. Are you ready? Last week we talked about humility. That was a good one. Get the podcast. Actually, only some of it is in there, but listen to the part that's in there. Oh, we do podcasts. So I just said do for sure. I'm glad you caught that because I was going to say something. We do have, thanks. I got to change my wording. Have podcasts. You go to podcasts under iTunes. Type in Generation Ministries. They're all in there. Well, some of them. For GM. Yeah. Generation Ministries is what GM stands for. If you did not know that, now you do. You should read up there if you didn't know that. John 15, 1. I am the true grapevine. And my Father is the gardener. I was going to sing that song, but you guys are probably too young. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. Good. Thank you, Jesus. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So, since you have already been pruned and been purified by the message, now what do? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Who's talking? That's a true statement. Jesus. If we do not remain in Jesus, we cannot produce fruit. Yes, I, Jesus, am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. See that? You will produce much fruit if you remain in him. If you remain in Jesus, you will produce fruit. So there's no reason you should not produce fruit if you're remaining in him, right? So remain in him and you will produce not just fruit, but much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Can't even tie your shoes. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Say, uh-oh. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But, it's a good but. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Say hallelujah. That's pretty awesome. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. So remain in my love. Not my love. Jesus' love. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. So it says, when you obey my commandments, you will love. This is my commandment. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and to produce lasting fruit. Turn to your neighbor and say, go produce lasting fruit. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for your truth. God, we thank you that you're speaking to us now in this place. God, we thank you that your word is on our heart and you're speaking to our heart. God, I pray that we would have a greater understanding of your love tonight. God, we would have a great understanding of what it means to remain in your love and to live in the way that you have lived and the way that you've called us to live. God, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. So we've got a pretty sweet example here, right? Super sweet. It is super sweet. Don't start this again. If you weren't at camp, you wouldn't understand this. See, another reason you should come to camp, so that you get all of the weird little things we say. It'll make sense to you. Just wait a couple more months. Anybody know when camp is? Yes! Camp is right now. Oh, that's terrifying to think. I need 2 more months to prepare. So we've got this example. Jesus is talking to who? Anybody know who he's talking to in this? He's talking to his disciples. All right, so these last couple chapters in here, he's speaking to his disciples. He's already washed their feet. This is the time of the Last Supper, and he's speaking to all of them. And he's talking about the vine and the branches. He's giving them an analogy, something that is pertinent to them in that time. They understood a grapevine. They understood what that looked like. What they did not understand was what the heck he was talking about. See, a lot of times he'd speak in these parables and they didn't quite understand it. And it wasn't going to quite be fulfilled until the Holy Spirit came and actually worked through them and showed them how this worked. Now us, we can look back and we can see this and it makes a little bit more sense. But see, then these are Jews that he's speaking to, right? They're all Jews. And so they all have grown up in the law. They understand the law. The law is built on works. You work your way up. See, when there was separation between us and God, God brought the law, and working your way through the law made you closer to God. And so it was all built on works. And the point of that was because they could not work their way to heaven. It was to show them they could not work their way. They needed something else. And what they needed was Jesus. And Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. So Jesus was coming to fulfill the law, but it hadn't been fulfilled yet because he hadn't died and resurrected, right? He hadn't gone through that, and he hadn't brought back the Holy Spirit. But he's speaking, if we look in John 14, he's telling them about the Holy Spirit. He's telling them that he's going to die, and he's going to rise again, and he's going to bring back the Holy Spirit that's going to live inside of them and then make them like him. This makes absolutely no sense to them, all right? There is no understanding of it yet. We understand more because we've seen it happen, and it makes sense to us now. It's something that happened in the past that's continuous now, right? We understand it, but they did not understand it in the same way. But the reason that Jesus is telling them all of this, and he's telling them how to live, is he's changing their mindset. He's telling them about what is important. Now, before, they saw importance as fulfilling the law. Right, if you were a Christian or you followed, well, there wasn't the term Christian yet, but if you followed the Lord, you followed the law. You'd fulfill the law in every way. And there's so many rules in the law, it's impossible to make it on your own. So Jesus is showing this, and he's showing that he is the way and he is the true vine. And so he gives them this analogy that he is the vine and we are the branches and his Father is the gardener, clipping off the unfruitful pieces, right? And he's the vine which connects us. Man, I had an example, but I forgot to bring it up here. Just picture it. If you picture a tree, we'll just do a tree instead of a grapevine. Many of you may not have seen a grapevine before. If you picture a tree, he's saying Jesus is like the roots coming up in the main, what is that called? Main part of the tree. Hey, look, there's a tree. Right? You guys are geniuses. This is a tree. And Jesus is this part of the tree coming up. right? And we are the branches, what connects to the tree. But the branches cannot be fruitful on their own. They can't even be held up on their own because they need the vine, right? They need the thing coming up. What is it? It's not a stump. A stump's when it's cut off. A trunk. Hey, yes, a car trunk. It's a trunk, right? And he is that comes up and produces through us. We are the branches. When we connect to him, we become that tree. And out of that, we start to produce fruit, right? We start to produce leaves and little buds, right? Our tree becomes fruitful when we connect to him. So this is the example he's speaking to them, is you are like a tree. And I'm the beginning of it, and you are the fulfillment of it. And as you remain in me, that's how you produce fruit. So see, they understood, well, what they thought they understood was the fruit part. Because all they really knew was production, producing. You had to produce to be close to Jesus, right? You had to do all these works to be close to God, to be like God. Right? You had to follow all the laws. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not destroy your neighbor's dog. You really shouldn't, but it's not in there. Right? That's what they understood, were all these rules and all these things of what not to do. So they're like, oh yeah, fruit, we understand. But Jesus kind of blows their mind and he said, the way that you produce fruit is not from you. It's not by you. It's not by you trying. It's not by you seeing that you don't have a lot of joy in your life. So try and put a smile on your face and make yourself happy. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, well, you sin a lot because you're always cussing at your friends, Devin. Just kidding, bro. Right? Because you're always putting somebody down. You're always making fun of somebody. So the way you do better is by working harder. No, that's not what he's saying. See, that's what they understood, is if they weren't fulfilling the law, they had to work themselves better. But what Jesus was saying, the way that you fulfill the law is through me. Connect to the vine and you will be the branches. And when you are the branches, you will produce fruit as you remain in me. And see, this is the same calling for each one of us, is when we come to know Jesus, when we put our faith in him and believe that he is our Lord and Savior, and we turn away from our sin life and we run towards him, we become fruitful as we remain in him. And the way we produce that fruit and the way we grow in our character, the way we grow in our integrity, is by connecting to the vine. It's by connecting to Jesus, right? Not by crossing off the checklist of how to be a good Christian. It's by connecting to him. So he's giving them this new example that they don't quite understand about producing fruit. This is how you produce fruit, is when you remain in me. Remain means to stay or continue or abide, right? You continue or you stay in Jesus. But when we start not staying in him, we start going on our own ways and we start doing things in our own strength, we're not producing fruit. We're no longer producing lasting fruit. We're producing whatever we can do naturally, right? And so he's not, in this instance, he's talking both. He's talking both about salvation in the first part, right? If we don't connect to him, if we don't give our lives to him, if we don't call him Lord and Savior and repent of our sins, we will not be saved and we will be like those branches cut off into the fire, right? But he's also saying, and he's also giving the example of this. And he's saying this to the disciples so that they'll fully comprehend it, so that they can go and preach the gospel. But it's also for them too. Is as you are remaining in Jesus, you remain fruitful. But when you don't remain in him, you stop producing fruit. Doesn't mean you're not saved. You follow me? Doesn't mean you lose your salvation and they chop off the branch and throw you into the fire because you lost your salvation. That's not what it's talking about. Right? It's saying as you remain in him, you will be fruitful. But when you don't, you're not producing fruit. And the gardener comes by and he clips off the places that are not producing fruit. And he shows us and he challenges us through other people, through his Holy Spirit. Right? He starts to speak to us and show us areas of our life that aren't producing fruit. Doesn't mean we're not saved anymore. It just means we're unproductive in the kingdom. Just means we're not living that full life that God has called us to live and wants us to live. God wants you to be fruitful. Jesus says this like 6 times in here, is to be fruitful. He says, I've made you to be fruitful, to produce something that's lasting, to produce something that's of his Spirit. But when we're not connected to him, we're not remaining fruitful. Then when he goes down in verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. So then he says this right here, remain in my love. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. And just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Love is the beginning component for producing fruit. Love is that beginning component that makes you fruitful. He says, remain in my love. See, he's changing the mindset of you're not fruitful by the works, by what you do. You're fruitful by how you love. And the way you love is by remaining in my love. Because what is God? Love, because God is love. So when you are around love, you become loving. Right? When you're around something that's that contagious, you become like it. When I'm around super joyful people, I become super joyful. I'm always pretty joyful, but I become even more joyful. When I'm around Hannah, I become more joyful because she is always smiling. She's always got this great attitude and is always smiling at people and excited to see you. And it gives you joy. Right? In the same way, when we're around Jesus, when we remain in Jesus, and Jesus is love, we become like him. We produce that love. Love comes out of us. Right? And everything that's being produced that's fruitful starts with love. If it's not loving, it's not eternally fruitful. It might look good for a season, but it's not fruitful. It's not lasting. If it's not built and founded on love, it does not remain. Because love is the one thing that remains. It remains. Love remains. When we remain in his love, we become like him and we start to produce fruit. We start to produce good things in our life. It even says we start to produce joy. I've told you these things so that you would be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. When we start with love, when love is our beginning, it starts to produce things that are fruitful. It starts to produce joy that is fruitful. It starts to produce this joy that's contagious to other people. It starts to produce something that is lasting, not something that withers and dies and goes away. But love produces a fruit that is lasting. Out of our love is what comes fruitfulness. When we love people, we are fruitful. Jesus is telling us we're called to be fruitful. You are called to produce fruit. And the way you produce fruit is by doing awesome things. No. Being fruitful starts in your love. It's the way that you love people. It's the way that you love God. When you spend time with the Lord, you start to become like him. And his love starts to fill you. And you start to have a love for other people. And in that love is when you become fruitful. When you start producing something that lasts. But if you're producing something, even if it's with good intention, even if it's for God, if it is not built and founded on love, it is not lasting. It is not an eternal fruit because it is not really built on God, because God is love. It's built on something else. This is my commandment. Again, he's using this word commandment because they understand the commandments, right? They understand the Ten Commandments. They understand the law. But he's breaking the mindset of works. And he's telling them this. This is my commandment. Not those ten that you've heard before. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay one's life down for one's friends. There's no love like laying your life down for somebody else. Look, this is before Jesus lays his life down for his friends, for these people, for these disciples. He's telling them, I'm about to show you the full expression of my love. I'm about to lay my life down for you and show you how you are called to lay your life down for others. Yes, you're called to be fruitful. I have made you to be fruitful. I've given you this great destiny and this great plan that comes great things through it. But it all is founded on love. It's not founded on your works. It's not founded on the gifts that he's given you. It's not founded on the abilities that he's given you. It's founded on love. And I think we need to break that mindset in our own hearts, our own minds, is that it's not about you doing some great thing. It's not about you getting a prophetic word of what your destiny is and then just going after it, making it happen. It's about the way you live your life out of love. It's the way you love other people. It's the way you lay your life down for other people. That's where fruit begins, is out of your love, out of your love relationship with Jesus. And your love relationship with people. That's where it begins. Love is the beginning of fruitfulness. It begins with love. It all starts there. If we look at Galatians 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. These are the gifts that the Spirit, when he enters inside of you, in the moment that we put our faith in him, the Bible says that we have the Spirit of God in us, living in us. And in that moment, you have the fruits of the Spirit. And what is the first fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Joy. No, love. Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that a song? Are awesome. But it starts with love. The first fruit is love for a purpose, for a reason. Because when we have that first fruit inside of us, we can produce the rest. The rest will come out of us and the rest will be fruitful and it will multiply. But it has to stem and start with love. Love is like the stem from the branch to the fruit. It needs that stem in order to be fruitful. We need love in order to be fruitful. We need that love in our life. We need to be trading our lives to loving other people. We need to be laying our lives down out of love. That's what we're called as Christians. We're all called to love. You all have different gifts and abilities. You all have different passions and strengths. Things you're good at, things you're not good at. Some of you are very outgoing. Some of you are very people-oriented. Some of you are very charismatic. Some of you have the gift of prophecy. Some of you have the gift of healing. Some of you are just good-looking. I like that. Just reflecting the glory of God. Just reflecting. Right? We all have strengths and abilities that God has given you. But it's not about you performing your strengths and abilities. That shouldn't be the start. That's not what you're made for. Look, you might be the best prophet in the world, but you are not made to be a prophet. You're made for love. You're made to love. You're made to love God and to love people. And out of that, God gives us gifts and abilities that should start with love, and then we can reflect that. Then we're being